Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sensational Comic Brothers Podcast. I'm your host, Matt, with me, as always, is my co-host and brother, Ian.
How's it going, Matt? How are you doing? Glad to be rebranded, finally.
Yep. I'm doing well. I am ready to talk a character. I'm ready to step out of the DC and Marvel world. I'm ready to step into a world of valor, of valiance, the Valiant Universe. Because today, we are talking one man who is at the head, some may call him the Iron Man of his universe, because he's the first movie that nobody really knows what to expect of, Bloodshot.
Finally, we're finally doing something different other than DC and Marvel. And I've been waiting to talk Valiant for so long, so I'm excited to finally dive into some Valiant Universe. Ready to educate you, Matt.
Okay, well, Bloodshot has gone through a lot of reboots, and is currently, I think, in the midst of a most recent kind of a soft reboot. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Bloodatus Shotatus, that's Black Bolt. Bloodshot was originally created for Valiant in 1992, and he first appeared in Eternal Warrior number 4. You may know Eternal Warrior if you're familiar with the Valiant universe. Also, if you've read The Valiant 2012, I believe Ian, the Eternal Warrior is the one who just lives forever. I mean, his name, everything's kind of right there in the name.
I think so. I actually am on the first issue of The Valiant. I just started reading it the other day. So that's kind of my first introduction to that character. But yeah, from what I can tell, he's some ongoing being that lives forever. He says he has a brother, too, that also is immortal as well. So maybe they're
the only
two immortals.
Twin brother. But we're not talking about him, Ian. So okay, stop sorry. Talking about him. We're talking about Bloodshot.
Okay? Yes, we are.
Bloodshot, sure. Bloodshot was created by Kevin Van Hook, and I might butcher this name, Vel Guchet.
That's pretty good.
Okay. And Bloodshot is a man, Angelo Martali, who's a mob hitman, and he is volunteered when he is found out to be informing the FBI to Project Rising Spirit. So he's infused with these nanites, and they give him special abilities such as regeneration. They make him super strong. He can talk to machines. This can keep in mind, this is the first iteration of Bloodshot. He's been rebooted like 3 times. But he is found to have Harbinger powers. Ian, can you speak to that at all? What is that?
Well, Harbinger abilities are basically like some sort of like telekinetic power, is my understanding. Okay.
Yeah, because he's technokinetic, I think, in this version.
Yeah, so basically he has kind of like an X-Men ability. And every Harbinger's powers are different depending on what they are. So very much like the X-Men, you kind of never know. So, yeah, basically he's like some form of mutant or different being, I guess. At least in the first incarnation of Bloodshot.
But, he's a freak.
Yeah, he's weird. But I don't know. This version of Bloodshot, in this run, they actually establish that the thing that they inject him with, the nanites, that give him all his special abilities when he's in prison, basically, they're like individual beings, and they view Bloodshot as God, basically. So they're like enslaved to him in a weird way, and they worship him. And even in later incarnations of Bloodshot, there's people who actually worship him. And, you know, which is kind of, I don't know if that's just like a play on that or kind of just a callback to the original version. But yeah, so that's kind of one of the first canon things that they established with the nanites there. But I'm not sure that carries in to every single incarnation of Bloodshot. But I don't know, this incarnation, I think, is a little bit different than the one that we currently have. But I think there's a lot of initial seeds that we see. Matt, I mean, you're obviously older than I am. Not trying to diss you or nothing, but have you ever read any Bloodshot when you were a kid? Did you know about Bloodshot?
No. My actual reference, and the first time I ever encountered Bloodshot was really when Paolo Rivera, who's one of my favorite artists, he rebooted, or kind of a soft reboot of the Valiant universe in 2012 with Jeff Lemire, which we'll talk a little bit more in detail later, but that was my first introduction to him. So it was like 2012. And even then, I didn't really get around to reading The Valiant for quite some time. So that, it's funny. I never even, and I, you know, I was in the comic book shop 92. Yeah. I was in the comics and cards down the road, Campbell, California, all the time. And I do not recall this character, but then remember at the time there was just a litany of, as we'll talk about here in a second, of characters who looked exactly like him and had pretty much this. So let's run down some of the trends that he follows. White, like pale white, nanites, which was a big thing back then, lots of guns, and overly muscular. So that fit the bill of about 98% of the characters that were being produced in the in 92. But he, let's give people just kind of an idea. Let's fill out this Tinder profile for Bloodshot here. So he's, if you can imagine in your mind's eye, I mean, you could obviously just Google him, but he's this big, he's actually kind of shorter in this version than we see in later iterations, or at least he seems like a little bit more,
like stout,
more condensed. Yeah, yeah. Stout. That's a much better word, but he, but very muscular. It's like a really muscular Danny DeVito, and he's got, but he's got like a full, like flat top, which that changes later on. And you know, the signature red circle in his chest. Does that have any significance, Ian?
Basically,
kind of the look.
Well, at least in the later iterations of Bloodshot, which is what I'm more familiar with, basically when he regenerates, like that's where it starts. Like the nanites are based there, and that's kind of where it seems, I guess. So I don't know if that's how it is in the original version. I know that that's his look that he originally had, but I'm not sure as to like the canon of it and exactly how that comes to fruition. But I would imagine so. I mean, that seems about right. I don't know why they would include it in later versions and not have it be, you know, some sort of thing, you know, a callback to the first incarnation. But you said you never read it and you have no familiarity with it. I know you're saying that he plays to all the stereotypes of superheroes that we would have seen in the 90s. I mean, why do you think Bloodshot stood the test of time then? Do you think it's because of the reboots, or?
I don't know. I think that's going to be kind of the question we're trying to answer over the course of this episode. And I hopefully, you know, we may or may not have an answer. But that's something to consider is, you know, why did he stand the test of time? Was it luck? I think that certainly had something to do with it. But I think he had a little bit of unique in that he had this. Well, it's not, see, even that's not even unique. I got to be honest, his memory loss. So the nanites take away his memory and he doesn't remember. And that's a thing that continues to play throughout the reboots, is these false memories that were implanted. And I think that they finally kind of nailed a cool use for that down the line. But I think when it was initially introduced, it was more like there's like a Wolverine thing.
He's like a Captain America Frankenstein.
Well, yeah, kind of like he's Captain America and he's patriotic, I guess. But he's Wolverine and then he doesn't know his own origin.
Yeah.
And then he's like Cable in that he just has tons of guns. So, honestly, I think it might have more to do with the fact of how the Valiant universe has survived these multiple reboots and these multiple sales, if I'm being frank,
right,
that happened behind the scenes. Because let's move on to the next version, if you don't mind, Ian.
Yeah, no, that's where I was going with that. So.
So Valiant started Bloodshot was created in 92. 1996, Valiant gets bought by Acclaim Comics. Now, Acclaim promptly reboot him the year later. And so then we get the second iteration of Bloodshot. So his first appearance is in Bloodshot Volume 2. I love how they keep the volumes. And that's a theme that stays. Volume 2, number 1. And this iteration of the creators is Len Kaminsky and Sal Velluto. Excuse me. And now we start to see a little bit more of the seeds of the character that we know. So in this version, it's Raymond Garrison. And his real and that's the real identity of Angelo Martali, who was the past iteration of Bloodshot in the original creation. And he is exposed as an FBI informant, Ian, I believe, and he's promptly killed. His body is preserved in this thing called Project Lazarus, who they now, rather than the Project Rising Spirit, Project Lazarus injects him with the nanites, reanimates him, but they implant him with false memories, I believe. Or no, that's the next iteration. This iteration is he has like overlapping memories of being undercover as Angelo Martali, and it's just gets all jumbled from here. So what did you think about this iteration, Ian? Because we just talked about how like epitome of the 90s he is. Like, this is it cranked up to 20.
I think the problem with both the first Bloodshot and the second Bloodshot is that it leans very heavily into the storyline. From what I was reading, seems to lean heavily into like noir and like the mob side and him kind of dealing with the crime and stuff like that. And I just don't really think, at least the Bloodshot that I've read currently, I don't think that fits with the character that we've seen. I think that the direction that they've currently gone seems to be a lot stronger and a lot more in the wheelhouse of, excuse me, the actual skills that Bloodshot has. So, yeah, I feel like the first two iterations were just pandering. They're trying to figure out exactly what they wanted from this character and exactly how they wanted to utilize him correctly. I think that the second incarnation, while they had a lot of 90s tropes, it brought the storyline between Raymond Garrison, right? That's his name? Raymond Garrison and yeah. Angelo together. And that's kind of like what we see Bloodshot now. So, I don't know. I guess it kind of works, but it's still very 90s. I mean, it says, you know, they boosted his look up to make him even beefier, you know, like more muscular.
He's huge. He's like Bane huge.
Like Juggernaut huge, or?
Yeah, he's gigantic. He like is easily 3 feet taller than everybody around him. He has every leather jacket known to man on
pull up
at the same time.
I'm going to pull a picture on my phone right
now. I should have included the picture in the notes.
I'll tweet it out when we post the episode.
He is gigantic. And in this one, his noir and his grittiness are just cranked up to 10,000. It is insane reading about how angsty he is, and it's like his voice was like tombstones grinding together. It's like, wow, okay, we get it.
Oh my god, he looks tough. Just like Tombstone.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think I might have cracked it, Ian, but I'm gonna save it for why this guy endures. But I'm gonna save it for the end. I think I got it though.
Okay, you ready to move on to the final current?
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about this version here. So now. His appearance has changed quite a bit, but this version, from everything I can read, Ian, he doesn't have like a lot of the superpowers he had. I think he's much more a toned down version in terms of power set, and a much more amped up in terms of like physicality. You know,
He was more gritty as a character, but he had less actual abilities. He was more like on the Punisher level.
Yeah, but I think that's going to change in the next iteration quite a bit. But overall, this was a claim. They had him, I think they said so this, a claim ran from 1997 to 2004. A claim goes out of business in 2004. Then Valiant Entertainment is created. I believe Valiant Entertainment is created by, there's a Chinese company associated with that. And they are kind of like an entertainment powerhouse, I guess, or like a studio or something like that. Anyways, they buy him in 2000. They buy all the rights back to all the Valiant characters in 2012. And Bloodshot is rebooted once again. And that is a part. He's rebooted in his own title, but his real big splash is the Valiant, which is what you were mentioning earlier, Ian. That's written by Jeff Lemire and drawn by Paolo Rivera. And in this version of the character, Angelo Martali is a mob hitman, and he's... Oh, wait, no, I'm reading way, way too far up ahead. Sorry about that. This is a much more tamed version of Bloodshot. He's not... While he's ripped, he's not gigantic. He is dare I say, an attainable body for those of us who wish that we could be fit, as I should say. This is Raymond Garrison again, and he is implanted with false memories this time when he's injected with, after he's injected with the nanites. The false memories are used to give each of give him purpose for each of his missions. So he goes to, hypothetically, as an example, they need him to go blow up a village. Well, they would implant him with a memory that's like, oh, well, this village murdered your daughter and ripped her into pieces and threw her body parts into the ocean. So then he'd be like, all right, cool, I'm going to go blow up this village. But the biggest change here, aside from a toned-down appearance, is the abilities that the nanite gives him. And this is kind of cranked up to 20. So he can not only he can heal from almost from pretty much anything as long as he consumes protein. He can also camouflage. He has malleable anatomy. He has superhuman strength, endurance, speed, reflexes, agility, and stamina. He also has a sonic scream. He also has technopathy, and he also has a psychic pulse. He is a master of hand-to-hand combat, and he is a weapons expert, and he will spoon with you and let you be the little spoon.
Yeah, this version of Bloodshot is much more revved up. I don't know that he would let you be... Well, I guess he'd have to be the big spoon, so that would make sense. I'm actually familiar with this iteration of Bloodshot. This is the trade paperback that I got from Comic-Con, and I actually really, really enjoyed it when I read it. One thing that I really enjoy is the connection between the second version of Bloodshot and the first version of Bloodshot. They kept a character named Simon Orek throughout both series, and Simon Orek is basically the person who's in charge of Project Rising Spirit, who are the people that turn Bloodshot into Bloodshot. So he's usually Bloodshot's nemesis, I would say. And there's a lot of like conflict going on between the two of them. So they kept him along. And another character that they kept from the second and the third incarnation was Dr. Stroheim. Now, in the second incarnation, he was more kind of like a mad scientist. But in the third version, which is the current run, he's like actually trying to help Bloodshot. And he captures Bloodshot, and he's the one that teaches him that he's being brainwashed all the time. So he's the one that kind of sets all these acts into motion. So that's something that I think is really cool, and I really enjoy that they kept that throughout Bloodshot's history and kept the same characters alive, because I think it's important, you know, for the lifelong fans. I'm no lifelong fan by any means. I just started reading Valiant last year. But I'm sure, because I know... have you seen anything about the Platinum Edition Bloodshot number 0, Matt? Do you know anything about this?
No.
So there are some diehard Valiant...
Is it going to irritate me?
It might. There are some diehard Valiant fans out there that there is a Platinum Edition 0, like issue 0 of Bloodshot. It came out, I think, in 1996, maybe 92, one of those years. I'm not 100% sure. And it basically has a printing error on the comic book, right? And because only, I think, like 13 of these comics were released with this printing error, they're worth like $30,000. I was looking it up online. I could not believe it. So anyway, needless to say, Bloodshot has some diehard fans. And I think it was really cool that they kept a lot of his characters alive. But I enjoyed the trade first couple trade or whatever of Bloodshot. I thought it was really good. The story was a little that, you know, kind of assuming that you would know everything about Bloodshot and that he's being brainwashed and stuff, but he is very, very overpowered. There's one point where he kills a room full of guys, and then he just morphs into one of the guys and walks out of the room, and they're like, what happened? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like camouflages as the dude. It was pretty cool. But, Matt, have you read any of the 2012, Bloodshot at all?
No, I read, just the Valiant, and then yeah. I have his most
I gotta read
recent.
That.
I have his most recent number one that came out before the more recent one, so the one before the last. I mean, this guy gets like number ones like every other day.
I know, right?
But I enjoyed him. He's really good in the Valiant. I mean, really, really, truly good. But I think I realize why he's endures.
Please, tell me.
you know, I was thinking about, like, why did Batman endure? Why did Superman endure? And it's because they're kind of a blank canvas. They have kind of generic abilities or powers, and it's just they're the canvas for people to kind of put things on, and they pull away, and they put things on, and they pull away, and they keep what's good, and they pull away, and they just do it iteration over iteration over iteration. I mean, think about how different Batman is from his original incarnation. You know, the original Batman used a gun and, you know, was like, would backhand Robin, you know, well, later iterations, but he went through different generations of storytelling. And I think that's probably why Bloodshot's endured, because he's gone through so many reboots. They add a bunch of things, they pull away the things that don't work, they add a bunch more that works, until ultimately you'll wake up one day and you got a character that works great, and it's like, oh yeah, that's how he always has been, hasn't it? He didn't always have this crazy convoluted backstory.
I think they benefit from hindsight too, because there was a long time where they didn't have Bloodshot, and they were trying to acquire the rights back to Bloodshot. And I imagine in that time frame, they were probably thinking to themselves, when we get these characters back, if we get them back, how exactly do we want to take advantage of them? Because we messed up last time by losing the rights to them. And I'm sure they probably seen the success of the MCU and, well, you know, maybe the Nolan Batman films and shit. And they were probably, like, thinking to themselves, we could have a superhero universe too if we wanted to, if we get these rights back. I don't know if they'd have that level of hindsight, but you'd like to think so. And yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with it and where they take it, honestly.
Well, and that's the thing is, so Valiant has teamed with Sony to produce all their movies.
Hooray.
So yeah, I'm not super enthused about that, but yeah, in 2015 Sony partnered with Valiant. They're gonna make 5 movies based off of Harbinger and Bloodshot. So that kind of leads us to our next portion of this episode, which is talking about, obviously, there's an upcoming movie. We're supposed to be getting a trailer soon, I think, but there's going to be a Bloodshot movie starring none other than Dom Toretto himself, Vin Diesel.
I am Groot.
Are you, first off, excited for that?
I am. You're going to hate this, Matt. I'm excited for it, but not for Bloodshot. Not for Bloodshot. I'm excited because I know my favorite character, Harbinger, will be coming to the screen. And that is something that I look forward to. Maybe a little end credit scene at the end of Bloodshot. Yeah, maybe a little tease that.
This is Sony, the same company that showed a warehouse full of the entirety of the Sinister Six power set.
Fuck you, Sony.
In this second Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Fuck you, Sony.
You better believe that Sony's going to be teasing the shit out of that movie. It's going to be like every 15 seconds, he's going to get like a phone call or something, and he's going to be like, oh, well, who's that? Oh, wrong number. Hey, man, this is Bloodshot. This is Harbinger. I'm here with the Eternal Warrior. We're looking for Ninjak. I think we got the wrong number. Sorry. Hey, you want to team up later? Here's my number.
Do you know anything about Harbinger and their relationship at all, or what we might see in the movie? I have a theory. So, Bloodshot is and Harbinger are in conflict. Not Harbinger, but it's hard to explain. So basically, like, the Harbingers are people, like I mentioned earlier, who are like the X-Men, and they are run by a man named Toyo Harada. And basically, Toyo Harada and Simon Urich, they're like constantly in conflict with each other. Simon Urich and Project Rising Spirit, their goal is to collect as many like psyots as they can, which are basically like what the X-Men people, that's their name, that they're not called Harbingers, they're called psyots. And basically they're trying to acquire as many psyots as they can to use them as weapons. Toyo Harada is a psyot himself, so he kind of is like Professor Xavier in that way, where he's trying to be, you know, like, oh, let me teach you guys, let me coach you guys up. So basically, in the storyline, Bloodshot is trying to, you know, capture the psyots, and then the psyots teach Bloodshot, like, oh, we're on the same side or whatever. And then basically Bloodshot's in conflict with Project Rising Spirit and the Harbingers. So Project Runway as well. He might be there as well.
I knew it.
But this, I'll be excited to see this movie, but I'm, like I mentioned, man, Harbinger is where it's at. I know.
I'm excited.
Are you?
I'm excited. No, I'm excited to hear Vin Diesel talk. Bloodshot, man. You swore about family, man. Yeah, bro.
He talked in the Iron Giant.
Maybe he'll just do the Iron Giant voice. He gave up on talking. He's like so one note on everything now. Bloodshot is exciting to me as a character. If more so than anything else, it's something different. It's a new exciting character that, not new. I mean, he's obviously been around for over 20 years, but it represents something different than the Marvel movies. And I think that can be really a good thing to have variety, but I'm not excited about Vin Diesel being a part of it. I'm the Fast and Furious movies I'm out on, and I don't want to be out on this movie before it even starts. So hopefully he is just a silent person for the most of the movie. Or maybe he takes more. No, he talks a lot in Pitch Black too. Not sure what I'm going to do, but hopefully he's got a good supporting cast. Have we seen what Bloodshot looks like yet for this movie? I think we just saw like a photo of him.
I don't think we have. I knew you were going to say you hated the Fast and Furious movies. How did I know you were going to say that?
No, I don't hate the Fast and Furious movies. I'm tired of them. I've seen every single one.
Well, up to what number? Them. Don't lie. You haven't seen eight. You haven't seen that. Don't lie.
No, I have eight.
What? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you own them all or just eight?
Just eight.
Is the and Paul Walker? Is that why?
That's no. That was seven. See, I have seen every single one of these. Ian, I've been watching these since before you were born.
I stopped at I stopped at like five. And they were not on before I was born. I know. Don't not make people think I was that.
But I am excited. I'm excited for Hobbs and Shaw. That looks good.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I love Jason Statham though.
I do too.
I don't
too.
Really care for The Rock.
But they're like, now they're like superheroes. We used to race cars, but now we're superheroes. Well, and then Idris Elba is like, you know, he's like got this
literally
metal.
Superman.
Yeah, he's got this like metal arm and shit. Weird.
But, okay, weird. So back to Bloodshot.
Okay.
The thing that bothered me was Vin Diesel. He goes, "Hey, yo, I'm gonna release a teaser. Got a teaser for you for Bloodshot movie. And check out this Bloodshot photo."
Back to Bloodshot. I need to make fun of Vin Diesel.
He's like, "Hey guys, check out this Bloodshot photo." And then it's literally just a photo of him with aviators on. What the hell? Like, if you're gonna tell people it's a teaser for Bloodshot, don't just like be like, "Hey, here's a photo of my Instagram, Bloodshot hashtag Valiant for Life."
Or, you know the crazy thing is, he really does sound like that, because I know in the Chronicles of Riddick, which is the only movie he ever talks in, he sounds exactly like that.
All you it's have creepy. To do is slow down your voice. And stop engaging your teeth when you talk.
Do you think they like computerize the voice of Groot at all, or do you think he just totally makes that noise regularly, just like that? Like, is he just
he does all
it?
The inflect? He does all he. They give him the words, and then he inflects "I am Groot" in the different ways that you would say those things. So if you were like, "Holy shit," he'd go, "I am Groot." Like, he literally. I mean, that's not an easy job, like you would think it is. Like, he does. He's got to put some work into it.
No. I understand. So does Bradley Cooper.
I don't like when Vin Diesel in like Furious 8 is like, or Fate of the Eight or whatever the hell it's called. He's like white Jesus to all the Cubans. He's all, "Yeah, Cuban Nos. Oh, yeah, you have my car." It's just, he's too much. And I wish they had gotten somebody who was not famous.
Okay, let's give a super premature rating for the movie. Let's give it a tomato meter type rating out of 100%. Well, what do you think this movie is going to be when it comes out? I'm marking it down
really
right now.
You really want to be eating your words, or like you really want to say something you're going to regret later? I think it'll be fine. That's pretty much
a percentage. Come on.
A percentage?
Yeah, like a tomato meter rating.
Who's doing it? So Sony, let's look at this. Let's take a look at this real quick. We're actually going to give it a little bit of time here and see what it is. So let's see, Bloodshot. Let's see who's making it.
It's Sony. We already know it, and it stars Vin Diesel. So you can already put those as negatives in your in your record book.
Okay, negative, Bloodshot negative. Film. Here we go. Here we go. Okay, directed by Dave Wilson and Jeff Wadlow. Okay, so Dave Wilson doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, so that's concerning right off the bat. Jeff Wadlow, his film credits are Kick-Ass 2, which is potentially one of the worst movies ever created, Truth or Dare.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. You're it such was a hater.
Absolutely terrible.
It wasn't that bad. It was almost a war crime. It was nothing compared to the Muppets movie with Jason Segal.
Why have I seen all these movies? Never Back Down, which I've seen and is a terrible movie, Wolf. It's an MMA movie with what's his name? Jimon Housen. He's from Guardians. Groot rips his thing out and he goes finger to the neck means death.
Oh man, I have a friend growing up who loved this movie. That's why I know it. I'm like, that sounds familiar. Movie's terrible. It's cheesy.
Oh, Amber Heard's in it. The husband abuser.
Okay, I'm gonna give you mine.
Hold on. Okay, let's finish this real quick. Okay, so it's got Toby Kebbell, who I love Toby Kebbell. From the one episode of Black Mirror where he was really great, and he's done everything else he's done since then has just been a continual crash into the ground, except for Planet of the Apes. He's pretty good. Vin Diesel, Sam Haugen. Is that how you say it? Sam Haugen from Outlander. I don't know him. Guy Pearce, who's one of my favorite actors, so he gets a pass. Isa Gonzalez. Don't know her. Oh, she's from Baby Driver, I think.
Oh my gosh.
After he and his wife are murdered, Marine Ray Garrison is resurrected by a secret team of scientists, enhanced with nanotechnology, becomes superhuman, blah, 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 blah. Okay, everything we know. I'm going to go ahead and say this is going to get like 50.
Jeez, maybe that was such a dance around to just say 50.
You could have evaluated and made an informed decision, or you could just jump right in and make a bad decision like you're probably going to do right now.
Or I could just prices right you and just say 51.
No. Oh.
I'll take 51.
I'm saying sub 50.
No, I think it's going to be, honestly, I think it'll be around like a 65. But even with a 60-65 rating, I think it'll be good enough and it'll make enough money to get a reboot.
Do you want to know
not,
why
excuse I think me, it... not a reboot, a sequel.
They're going to reboot it immediately afterwards. Do you want to know why I think it's not going to do well?
Why? Tell me,
I don't think it's going to be because Valiant. I think they really want to do the best they can. I don't even think it's going to be Vin Diesel. It's going to be Sony.
Yeah, I get you.
They are meddlers. And
Avi Arad's going to be sniffing around this project. Like, what's that over there? That looks like something interesting. Be like, get that guy away from here.
First mission for Bloodshot should be him taking Avi Arad out to the desert and leaving him there. We could do a whole episode just on the almost Avi Arad planned Spider-Man movies for Sony. That would be an entire episode of just insanity. He wanted to make an Aunt May Spider-Man movie.
I'm not surprised. Does she get bit by a spider too? No, Peter bites her. That's the twist, right?
It just becomes an episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh, so Bloodshot.
Bloodshot.
Don't worry, Bloodshot. Hopefully Sony will protect you from Avi Arad. That's the only person who can defeat him.
wait. So do you think Vin Diesel's going to be good? Are you excited about that?
I think Vin Diesel's going to be fine. I don't think it's going to be an issue, really. I feel like they're going to give him minimal talking. Anyway, and I mean, it's not like in the comic his character is super dialogue heavy at all. He's not. I don't ever hear him say anything, really. Just kind of like, okay, hey, I'm capturing you people. Where's my wife? Where's my wife? Where's my kid? So, you know, I don't think
Bo-Rat? Or Bo-Rat?
don't think Borat's looking for his wife, is he?
My wife.
But yeah, no, I think he'll be fine, man. I think Vin Diesel's gonna do just fine. As like I mentioned, as long as Avi Arad stays away from the project, I think the movie will be somewhat successful for a sequel and just hurry up and get Harbinger on screen so I can be happy. But
all right.
Yeah, that's all I've got for Bloodshot.
That is all I have for Bloodshot. So before we go away, Ian, what have you been into?
So I've been reading The Valiant, like I mentioned earlier. I actually just finished all the other Valiant Universe trade paperbacks, like the characters. So Bloodshot, Harbinger, Ninjak, and oh, there's one more. And I'm forgetting it. Oh, Exo Manowar. I don't know why I forgot that. That was like my favorite one. But anyway, yeah, just finished all those, which is cool. And yeah, I'm actually considering starting Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. I'm gonna have to like start reading that book. Yeah, I'm really interested. My fiance's been reading it, and she said it's really good, so I might have to pick that up and start that. But I've been playing Final Fantasy X as well. Playing a lot of that, which is not as fun as I remember it being. It's really tedious. So Blitzball is not fun. I finally realized when you told me that why Blitzball sucks, and it's not fun at all. But
why what sucks?
Blitzball. Do you remember Blitzball? Good God!
I never played it because I skipped that part of the game.
Yeah, I got the jack shot though, so that's what counts.
Well, good. That's something to be proud of. Not really. No, I know. But
it was a trophy on the PlayStation, so I was proud.
Wow! I hope you're proud of that.
PlayStation's been giving me more trophies in my life than anyone else ever has, so I'm going to take it. But no. Man, there was one other thing. Now I'm forgetting. Matt, you go ahead. What are you into?
There is a movie coming out in 2 weeks from when we're recording this, so who knows? Maybe it's already out when this episode comes out.
Brightburn?
No. Brightburn is coming out too. Oh, gosh. I got a busy week. I got
Detective
Pikachu.
No.
John Wick 3, man. Parabellum.
I haven't seen John Wick 2.
So I'm watching 2. I don't know. I rented it. I got to pick a day to watch it. But I'm going to be watching 1 and 2. Those movies are superb. They are high art. And you don't mess with the boogeyman. You just don't. Otherwise, you're asking for trouble. So that, and I've been desperately trying to slug through Kingdom Hearts 3. That is, well, I've told Ian in detail, but that is, while most games seek to condense history and make things easier for people to understand, Square Enix just goes, nah, fuck you, and just doubles down.
I don't know. When I was at your house, I saw you playing the game, and you explicitly told me, "Oh, don't worry, I just skip all the talking parts; they're not important anyway."
But
and
I try to, but then when I skip 3 cutscenes in a row, it's like, "Well, I got to be missing something here."
Oh yeah, absolutely. So you can't skip the 3 cutscenes.
No,
in a row.
But even when I don't skip, it doesn't make sense. Ian, okay.
I'll see when I play it.
Yeah, here's a bet. I can't wait for you to come and apologize to me when you've sat through every cutscene and you still don't understand diddly squat.
If I understand it, we're going to make an entire episode to me just explaining Kingdom Hearts 3 to
you. Okay.
So you understand.
I'm
going
to tell you right now, this is not a spoiler. When you get to Monsters, Inc., which is a land there.
Oh,
shut up.
The game for me. No. No.
When you get to Monstropolis, you will know what I mean when I mean that they've tripled down on how confusing the game is, and I will be waiting for that apology promptly. So
I mean, as long as like Riku's ghost or like his great uncle isn't coming into the story, I think I'm gonna be all right.
Ian, at this point, Riku's cousin could be performing a ceremony, rite of passage for Mickey's great aunt, and it would probably make more sense.
I know
so
what you're talking about.
Frustrated with this game.
I know you're not wrong either. That's the best part.
But that about does it for this week. So without further ado, Ian, where can people find us online?
You can follow the show at Earth919Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.com/Earth919Pod. Yeah. We're going to be getting new logos soon. So as soon as we get some sweet, awesome new decals, I'll put them up. We'll change the names. You'll find us there. But in the meantime, that's where you can find us. And you can follow me on Twitter at Ian Sasquatch. You got anything else, Matt?
Nope. Thanks for listening.
Have a good week.
Leave a review. Bye.